We're continuing our series on 1 Timothy, and we are now in chapter 3. And today we are blessed to have a guest speaker. Pastor Joel Lawrence is the senior pastor of Central Baptist Church in St. Paul, Minnesota. And he was an assistant professor of systematic theology at Bethel Theological Seminary, where John Piper used to teach biblical studies. He studied theology at Cambridge University and historical theology at Dallas Theological Seminary, and Bachelor of Arts in History at Texas A&M University. He also authored the book Bonhoeffer, A Guide for the Perplexed. He's been married to his wife, Mindy, and they have four wonderful children. And so, church, let us all welcome in our midst Pastor Joel Lawrence.
Good morning, everybody. It's good to see you all here this morning, and I just want to just begin by thanking Pastor TJ for the invitation to be here this morning. It's a tremendous blessing for me and an honor for me to be here. I love the opportunities I have as the Lord opens them up for me to travel various places in the world and to go into different churches and to worship together with people from around the world. It's a great honor and a great privilege. And I know whenever I step into a church like this, I am with my family. I'm with my brothers and my sisters that we haven't met before. We are united in our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And so it is wonderful for us to be together this morning. Let me tell you just a little bit more about myself and our team that is here. As Pastor TJ said, we are from St. Paul, Minnesota, where currently, right now, it is snowing very hard in Minnesota. They have about a foot of snow on the ground and a lot more that is coming. And so we all, as our team, are really glad to be here in Cebu, where it's nice and warm and we don't have to deal with shoveling snow. It's a good thing for us. But we're here because we are visiting and doing ministry alongside people who run the Children's Shelter of Cebu. And a friend of ours, Paul and Marlis Healy, founded the Children's Shelter of Cebu almost 40 years ago. And they take in children who have been abandoned, children who have been left on the streets, and they care for those children. And many of the children have been adopted out to various places in the world. And so we came from Minnesota in order to serve the kids at the shelter. This past week, we spent a couple of days at the shelter, and we were putting on a day camp for the younger kids. And then on Thursday through Saturday, we took the older kids, ages about 8 to 15, up into the mountains just outside Cebu here. And we had an amazing retreat up there. It was a great experience. So yesterday morning, I had the privilege of baptizing 14 of the children at the shelter who've committed their lives to Jesus Christ. And so our team is here, and they stood up a little bit earlier ago, but I'm going to have them stand up again. I won't introduce them one by one, but go ahead and stand up, the team from Central. And I will introduce two that I have a special relationship with. My daughters, Anna and Catherine, are with me. They are my 12-year-old twin daughters, and they're here with our team. So it's fun to all be together. Well, I mentioned that I'm from Minnesota, but I haven't always lived in Minnesota. I actually grew up in Texas. Have many of you heard of Texas? Texas kind of has a reputation around the world. The reputation is that it's filled with cowboys, right? People who wear big cowboy hats and who wear cowboy boots and big cowboy belt buckles. The Texas is just filled with people like this. And I want to tell you that it's not true. Texas isn't filled with people like that. I never wore cowboy hats or cowboy boots when I was growing up, but there are a lot of people in Texas who do wear those things, including my wife's family, because my wife grew up in East Texas on a ranch, and her brother is a cowboy, and her brother is the real deal cowboy. He wears the hat, he wears the boots, he has the Texas accent, he rides a horse. That's part of his work, is to ride the horse, because he takes care of cattle. He's a cattle rancher in East Texas. And when I go out and I visit the family, I oftentimes will go out with my brother as he goes out to work the cattle, as he goes out to take care of the cattle. And I grew up in the city, so I'm no help whatsoever to my brother-in-law. I just come along to kind of see what he does and observe what he does. And it's an amazing thing to watch him work. the importance that I observe there of how he has to care for each of the cows. He's got hundreds of cows, many, many, many cows, but he has to know each one individually. He has to know their needs. He has to know, do they need a vaccine? He has to know if they're not eating well. Are they sick? Do they have some kind of a disease? If there's a calf and they're not, their mother has died and the calf is not doing well, he has to be sure to be able to take care of the calves. And so he has to be very observant as a cattle rancher. He has to be an overseer of the cattle. He has to take care of them. And when I'm out with my brother-in-law and I'm watching him do his work, I can't help but be reminded of the relationship that God has with us, the relationship that God has with his people, with the people under his care. And one of the main metaphors that the scriptures use to describe the relationship of God with his people is the metaphor of a shepherd who is taking care of his sheep. God is the good shepherd, and those who are God's people, those who belong to God, are called in the scriptures the sheep of God. And this morning, as we come to 1 Timothy chapter 3, we come to a passage that describes the work of shepherds in the church. God is the good shepherd, but he also appoints others. He appoints humans who would be the under-shepherds, who would be the ones who take care of each individual flock. This church is a flock of sheep. And God appoints shepherds to be those who would care for the sheep, to be those who would tend to the sheep, to be those who will look out for the health and the wellness of the sheep. So this passage describes the need that the church has for shepherds, for elders, for overseers, for leaders in the church. Those who would be dedicated to the health of the flock. This church, Living Word, IT Park, this church needs shepherds, elders, overseers. Those who dedicate themselves to the health of the flock. And I want to ask you this morning as we open up 1 Timothy chapter 3, who are going to be the ones in this church who care for the flock? Who are going to be the ones in this church who are willing to lay down your life for the sheep, to lay down your life for the flock? This passage particularly talks about elders and those who have a certain position in the church, and we're going to talk about that in just a minute. And some in this church will be called to be elders, leaders, overseers. But all of us, if we belong to Jesus Christ this morning, every single one of us is called to lay down our life to serve God's people, to commit ourselves to being servants of each other, to understand that our lives are not about ourselves, that when we come into a relationship with Jesus Christ, we offer our lives to him, we belong to him, but we also belong, therefore, to his people. And our lives are no longer about living them for ourselves and what we can get out of life and what we want to pursue in life. Our lives are about Jesus Christ, giving ourselves, our lives to him, and about the church of Jesus Christ, the flock that is under his care, giving our lives to the service of the church. So I want to begin this morning in 1 Timothy chapter 3. I'm going to read the first 7 verses of 1 Timothy 3. And then we're going to go in and explore this passage together. So 1 Timothy chapter 3 says this: "Here is a trustworthy saying. Whoever aspires to be an overseer or an elder desires a noble task. Now the overseer is to be above reproach, faithful to his wife, temperate, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not given to drunkenness, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own family well and see that his children obey him, and he must do so in a manner worthy of full respect. If anyone does not know how to manage his own family, how can he take care of God's church? He must not be a recent convert, or he may become conceited and fall under the same judgment as the devil. He must also have a good reputation with outsiders, so that he will not fall into disgrace and into the devil's trap. Our Heavenly Father, we pray now as we explore your word that your Spirit would be present among us. Speak to us your truth, and may our hearts and our minds be open to your word this morning. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. In verse 1, it says that the person who aspires to be an overseer desires a noble task. But why is it a noble task? Why does Paul describe this as a noble task? Because he's writing this letter to Timothy. He's encouraging Timothy in his own work as a pastor, his work as a shepherd. And he describes for Timothy this work throughout the letter, and he's calling him to excellence in being a pastor. And then as he comes to chapter 3, he describes this task more fully, and he says that it is a noble task, it is a beautiful task, it is a good task, it is something that is worthy for us to aspire to. But why? Why is it such a noble task? Why does Paul describe it this way? As a beautiful task, a good task. Well, in order to understand this, I want to take us into the heart of the mission of God and to understand the mission of God. This passage really does take us into the very core of what God is doing in the world and calls us to understand God's work in the world, God's work in the church. The word here for overseer is a word that can be interpreted as shepherd. An overseer is one who watches over the flock, who shepherds the flock. And the story of God's mission, the story of the Bible, which is the first point on your outline that you have in your worship folder, the beauty of the church, that God is at work to create something beautiful. The story of God's mission is a story of a God who, out of his infinite goodness and love and care, desired to share his beauty, to share his glory with humanity, who he would create in his image. So God creates his image, male and female. He creates us in the image of God. And what this is telling us is that God is creating for himself a flock. He's creating for himself a flock who would be under his loving care, a people who would be under his provision, a people that he would provide for, that he would love, that he would care for, that God would know this flock, and he would be our shepherd. He would dedicate himself to our health and to our goodness, that God would dedicate himself to blessing us by his fatherly care, by his care as our shepherd. And he created a place for us to dwell with him. He created the earth to be the pasture in which his sheep would dwell, and he would tend to us, and he would feed us, and he would give us water, and he would be with us, and he would know us, and he would walk with us, and he would guide us along the paths of goodness. In Psalm 95, it says, "Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our Lord, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care." See, this takes us into the very heart of God. God is a God who cares for us. God is a good shepherd who desires for us to know the goodness of life with him. God created a flock for himself, and God is desiring that we understand that we can live under his fatherly care, that we can live under the life of the good shepherd, that we could live in his pasture, protected from dangers. God in his goodness and in his love would lead us to restful places beside still waters, that we would know the peace, the rest of being in the presence of the good shepherd. This is the heart of God. This is why he created you. This is why he created me. This is why he created humanity. He created us so that he could share with us the goodness of his life. He created us so that we would know the peace of his fatherly presence. He created us so that we would be the sheep of his pasture, cared for by the good shepherd. But The story of Scripture tells us that the sheep have decided to wander away from the shepherd. In Genesis chapter 3, we read the story of Adam and Eve. And the story of Adam and Eve is the story of humanity deciding that rather than live under God's care, rather than live with God as the Lord of our life, that we ourselves rather would be the lords of our own lives, that we ourselves would rather find pastures somewhere else where we could be in charge, where we could be in control of our own lives. And so the sheep have rebelled against the shepherd. The sheep have left the shepherd. The story of the Scriptures tells us that humanity, in our rebellion against God, have sinned against Him in order to seek our own lives and control of our own lives and authority over our own lives. And in doing that, we have left the care of the shepherd. We have left His pasture. But what we discover when we wander from the pasture of God is that the other pastures that promise us life, the other pastures that promise us goodness, the other pastures that promise us satisfaction cannot deliver. And what we discover when we leave the pasture of God is that when we are outside of His pasture, we are now vulnerable. We are vulnerable to the wild animals that seek to attack the sheep. When we wander outside the protection of the good shepherd, we become vulnerable to the forces of sin that bite, that tear, and that destroy us. We go out from God seeking life, but what we find is death at the hand of sin. The sheep who have wandered from the pasture of the shepherd are in great danger because we no longer have the protection of God's love and His goodness and His guidance and His care to protect us. We have left Him, and in leaving Him, we have found that the other pastures don't deliver what they say that they're going to deliver. What the other pastures deliver is death. Where are you this morning? Are you in God's pasture, safe, secure under His lordship? Are you in the pasture of the good shepherd? Are you in the field where He is providing for you everything that you need? Are you trusting in the good shepherd? Are you listening to His voice? Are you following after Him? Or are you wandering in other pastures this morning? Are you looking for life elsewhere? And if you are, what the Scriptures tell us and what human experience tells us is that in those pastures you will not find life. You will only find wild animals that will destroy you. And so there we were, human beings wandering from the pasture of the Good Shepherd. But God, the Good Shepherd, did not leave us to wander. God, the Good Shepherd, set out to bring back the sheep into His care. God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, the Word of God, to call the flock back to Himself. God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to come and to lay down His life for the sheep in order to gather the sheep back into God's pasture, in order to call us back into the place where we would find God's goodness and God's care and God's provision. God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to be the one who would die on the cross, laying down His life so that you and I could once again find the life of God and be brought back to the heart of the Good Shepherd. Jesus Christ came so that you and I could return to the place of peace, to the place of goodness, to the place of rest beside the quiet waters. By His love and by His grace, God has made a way for us to once again be the sheep under His care, to once again be the flock of the Good Shepherd. So, what is the church? Who is it that are described in the Scriptures as the church? Who are we who belong to Jesus Christ gathered together as the church? The church is the flock of God that has heard the voice of the shepherd, that has responded to the voice of the shepherd, that has turned away from seeking life in other pastures and have now turned back to the pasture of the good shepherd. The church are those who have been gathered back to the care of God, our Heavenly Father. The church are those who have seen the error of our wandering and have turned away from the paths that lead us away from God and turned back to become the sheep of his pasture, seeking the safety of life in the presence of the Good Shepherd. But though we are in the church, though we have been gathered back through Jesus Christ, though we have been gathered back to the flock, we are still in danger. We still live in a time when we are vulnerable. Because as it says in 1 Peter, our adversary, the devil, wanders about like a roaring lion, looking for people to devour, looking to take sheep away from the Good Shepherd. And so we are still vulnerable, though we live in the church, we are still vulnerable. And this brings us to the role, to the task of the overseer, to the task of the elder, to the task of the shepherd, as it's described here in 1 Timothy chapter 3. This is the second point on your outline, the task of the overseer. Who are the overseers? Who are the shepherds? Who are the elders? The overseers in the church are those who are called by God, called by the Spirit of God, to have a particular role in the church. Those who are called to serve God by serving the flock as shepherds. Those who are elders, those who are pastors, those who are leaders in the church are those who are called to stand watch over the flock, to pay attention to what's going on in the flock, to come to know the sheep, to get to know each of the sheep in order to be able to understand their needs, how they need to be fed, how they might find themselves in danger, how they might be tempted to be led astray. The pastors and elders, shepherds in the church are called to be dedicated to the flock, to observe the flock, to watch over the flock, to look out for the wild animals that might come and attack the flock, to teach the flock how to walk along the paths that lead to peace, to teach the sheep to listen for the voice of the Good Shepherd, to listen for the voice of God Himself who calls us to follow Him. See, in the church, certain ones are set aside for this particular task of being pastors and elders, to stand watch over the flock. And as this passage goes on, after it describes this desire to be an overseer as a noble task, it then describes the overseers and the qualifications of being an overseer. And we don't have time this morning for me to go through each one of these things. I would encourage you to read over this passage, to reflect on this passage. It says that the overseer is to be above reproach, faithful to his wife, temperate, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not given to drunkenness, not violent, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. All of these descriptions of what it is to be true of the character of the shepherd. And as you read through these things and you ask, well, why are these the qualifications for what it is to be a shepherd? At the heart of all of these qualifications, at the heart of this list, is the idea that a shepherd, that a overseer, is one who is called to be a person who understands that their life is not about themselves, that their life is about the flock. What this is describing is a person who is not a selfish person. They're not in this to try to get something out of this. They're not aspiring to this task in order to get a position of authority. They're not aspiring to this task in order to get money out of the deal. They're not aspiring to this task in order to get power over people. They're not aspiring to this task in order to be the big shot in the church and be able to tell people what to do and have power. That's not what's going on here. What Paul is saying to Timothy is you need to train up elders who will be people who are laying down their lives for their wife, who are laying down their lives for their children, who are laying down their lives for the church, who aren't in it for themselves, who aren't in it to get anything out of it. They're not in it to get financial gain out of it. They're not in it to get power out of it. You need to be training up people who understand that the calling to be an elder, an overseer, that the task of the elder is the call to sacrifice. Because it's the call to follow in the way of Jesus. And the way of Jesus is the way of sacrifice. The way of Jesus is the way of laying down one's life for the sheep. And this takes us to the third point on your outline, the beauty of sacrifice. Those who would be elders, overseers, shepherds in the church are those who are called in a unique way, in this position, this task of overseer, in a unique way to follow the way of Jesus Christ, to follow the way of sacrifice, to die to ourselves, that we might be a sacrifice for the church, to die to ourselves, that we might be shepherds in the flock that is gathered in the name of Jesus Christ, and that is gathered through the work of Jesus Christ that led him to the place of crucifixion. To be an overseer is to be one who offers our life to Jesus Christ and is willing to follow him to the cross. And what I want to say to you this morning, this church, is I want to encourage you to pray for your leaders, to pray for your pastor, to pray for your pastoral team, because I am one, like your leaders, who have been called to this task. And I can tell you that this task is it's a wonderful calling. It is a noble task. It is filled with beauty. It is filled with a tremendous sense of satisfaction of serving Christ. But it is also filled with hardship, and it's filled with danger. It's a noble task, but it's a very challenging task. It's a very difficult task, and it's a heavy responsibility. To be called to be a leader in Christ's church is a heavy responsibility. Because I know that one day I'm going to stand before Jesus Christ, and he's going to ask me to give account for my flock, the flock that he placed under my care. He's not going to ask me how big the flock was. He's not going to ask me how wealthy the flock was. There's a lot of questions that he's not going to ask me. He is going to ask me, did you lead my sheep to follow after me? Did you protect my flock from danger? Did you feed my flock the truth? Did you get to know my flock that you might care for them? See, there was once a time in my life when I was wandering in those pastures far from God. And God, by his mercy and by his grace, came and he sought me out. And he brought me back from those pastures into his own pasture. And over a number of years, he made it very clear to me that he was calling me to be an overseer. And I had to come to terms with what that meant. I had to come to terms with the responsibility of that. I had to come to terms with the reality of that, that my life is not mine, that my plans for my life I had to set aside in order to be able to say to Jesus Christ, I will be a shepherd, not for my own sake, not for my own gain, but for your sake, for the sake of your glory, for the sake of your name, for the sake of your church, I will lay down my life. My life is not my own. It belongs to Jesus Christ, and it belongs to his church. That's the calling on my life. That's the calling on Pastor TJ's life. That's the calling on the leaders of this church's life. And I've come to understand that it's worth my life, that it's worth my life. And I want to ask you this morning, have you come to the place where you have recognized that giving your life to Jesus Christ is worth your life? That laying down your life for Jesus Christ is the noble task. It's the noble calling. You may or may not be called to be an elder in the church. You may or may not be called to be a pastor. But for every one of us here this morning, this passage puts before us the challenge of laying down our lives as a sacrifice for Christ, of giving up our plans for our life, giving up our own lordship over our lives, laying all that down in order to find the life that we can only find under the care of the Good Shepherd. And so I want to encourage you this morning to lay down your life for the sake of Jesus Christ. And I will tell you, it's not an easy life. You don't know where God might call you. You don't know what God might ask you to do. It may be very different than what you think you want to do with your life, but I guarantee you that it is only when we lay down our lives and offer our lives to Jesus Christ, it is only then that we truly find life. eternal life, abundant life, life under the Good Shepherd. Will you lay down your life for Jesus Christ and offer yourself as a living sacrifice? Our Heavenly Father, we are so grateful to you that you have created us to be the flock under your care. Our Heavenly Father, we are so grateful to you that out of your goodness, out of your kindness, out of your love, that you created us to know you. You created us to know life. God, I pray for each one here. I pray for those who are wandering away from you. I pray for those who are seeking life in other pastures. I pray that you would call them to yourself, that they would respond to the grace that has been poured out to us through Jesus Christ our Lord. I pray for those who are here this morning who are followers of Christ, but maybe are under the power of temptation, being attacked by wild animals of sin. I pray that your Spirit would empower them, that they would repent and turn, follow you along the paths of life. Father, I pray for the leaders of this church. I pray for the overseers of this flock, that you would equip them with all that they need to carry out their responsibility, that your Spirit would empower them, that you would give them wisdom and love as they tend to the sheep. We thank you for the noble task. We pray that your church around the world would live out this task for your glory. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.